Welcome to The Holt Story, a podcast where tech leaders discuss the biggest trends and challenges in cybersecurity technology. Brought to you by Tech Data, one of the world's largest technology distributors.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Holt Story, where we go deeper into the topics and technology impacting our industry. I'm your host, Tracy Holtz, and today's guest is Jonathan Nugent-Dye. He's Vice President of Global Field Organization and CISO at Fortinet. Jonathan leads strategy and analytics programs at Fortinet, where he focuses on emerging technologies and partnerships. With extensive experience working with global enterprises and nation states, Jonathan is responsible for developing innovative security solutions addressing the challenges of digital transformation from the IoT edge to the cloud. Welcome, Jonathan. It's really exciting to have you on the Holt Story today. I know you've spent a lot of time out on the road recently talking to partners and end customers really around what's happening in the threat landscape today, and particularly a couple market segments. Maybe talk to our listeners today of what's the most imposing threats that you're seeing, and maybe some of the challenges that our customers and their clients are facing today.
Hey, great. Thanks for this opportunity to be with you, Tracy, and with the partners in the channel today. So yeah, I have this sort of a dream job where I get to speak with about 450, sometimes 500 different security teams every year. And, you know, when we talk about new threats and emerging threats, it's kind of interesting because they change every year, but the ones that came up last year haven't really gone away. And so the broad stroke, the macro trends in cybersecurity today, whether you're SMB, mid-market, or global enterprise, they're very similar, in fact. So what we see is a greater acceleration in terms of the complexity of the networks today. Networks are more distributed than ever before. They're more decentralized than ever before. We have computing located on everywhere between the traditional enterprise perimeter and data centers and private clouds, onto a series of public clouds, onto the edge. Computing is very, very distributed today. So the operating environment is more complex than ever before. The threat landscape is more sophisticated, more effective than ever before. The barriers to entry continue to get lowered. And so the effectiveness of what the adversaries are doing are more effective as well. And of course, the compliance environment is heavier than ever before, with things like breach notification being in the news. So the broad strokes are this. What we continue to see across the industry today are challenges around lack of proper integration, lack of automation, and lack of visibility. In fact, when you look at FortiGuard Labs and the Fortinet Report and my old shop at Verizon and the other reputable threat researchers, they find some pretty common themes here. Is that, you know, most enterprises today, mid-markets and SMBs, are not really destroyed or stopped by advanced persistent threats. Yes, those things occur, but they're rare. They're anomalies. You know, true zero days, FortiGuard Labs last year only discovered about 70 true zero days. I don't think anyone in the industry has covered more than 100, but we are trending to be more than 100 this year. The practical reality, though, by comparison, is that every week, FortiGuard Labs and Fortinet see some 155,000 variations of known malware. And so what you get are common vulnerabilities, misconfigurations, lack of security awareness training, lack of asset visibility. Those things are the biggest challenges to why we fail in cybersecurity. When you look at the stats, and they're alarming, right? And it's been one that's very alarming. It's been true for over a decade now, is that 99% of all the vulnerabilities exploited were known for at least a year. And so think about that for a moment, whether small or medium or large enterprises were all falling victim to known vulnerabilities. So the question then is, why do we fail around simple to intermediate controls? And I think the reason why we fail is the level of complexity in the operating environment. As we said, computing is more distributed than ever before. And then the customer demands are higher than ever before. So coming out of the pandemic, you know, we all have these millennial expectations of greater personalization and greater customization of capabilities with high orders of security and privacy. And that's hard to deliver. And in fact, the challenge is this, that because we work from anywhere, we conduct business, communicate, everything we do is in fact somewhat contactless. The demand now is the ability to deliver consistent networking, security, and computing from any location for any user on any device on any access methodology. So yeah, it's a pretty challenging environment today in cybersecurity, irrespective of whether you're a small, medium, or a global enterprise.
No, absolutely. And I want to touch on something you talked about just quickly there around the lack of visibility and the misconfigurations, because, you know, one stems from the other one in a lot of ways, right? Yeah. The misconfiguration drives the lack of visibility. Yeah. And, you know, this is something that I've had a lot of conversations with, whether it be MSPs or partners out in events or even, you know, in one-on-one meetings, and the challenges that they're facing, and they're seeing these misconfigurations or from another deployment and or, you know, catching it themselves. What do you feel are some best practices that our partners can leverage around proper configurations?
Well, it starts off with the realization, I think, and an admission that our traditional approaches around multi-vendor best-in-class products really hasn't worked out so well. And the reason why is this. The reason why we go into these traditional solutions is that we didn't want a single point of failure. We didn't want vendor lock-in. We didn't want to have cascading failures, right? And we want to have access to the latest and the greatest technologies. But at the same time, we go into these solutions with an understanding that we never have enough people to staff adequately all of these different products, right? So Ponemon Institute says an average of 60 to 68 different products in a large business in the United States is some 20, 25 different management consoles, that we don't have the tools to leverage the integration across these multiple products, and that we don't have the resources to do this in a consistent fashion. So in many ways, these traditional best-in-class multi-vendor approaches really haven't yielded best-in-class solutions. And so what happens is that you have gaps because these products aren't integrated. And in those gaps between the LAN, WAN, data center, and the cloud network edges is where you see misconfigured devices, is where you have vulnerabilities that go undetected, let alone unpatched, is where anomalous behavior goes uninvestigated, let alone mitigated, right? So when you look at the largest, most pernicious data breaches and disruptions in our businesses, in many cases, in fact, in a large number of them, they're caused by things that could be mitigated through simple to intermediate controls, the patching of a known vulnerability, the proper configuration of a device that we've had in our network for some time, the proper offloading of employees, for instance, right? So these are simple to intermediate controls. But the big trends we're seeing today right now are around platform and vendor consolidation. I think just about everybody now realizes that there is no way they're going to get to that digital infrastructure that delivers that sort of frictionless, contactless business for this new normal with siloed, disaggregated products. So the most interesting thing is, you know, the analyst community and most CISOs today realize that, look, the problems we face don't occur in silos, you know, meaning they don't just occur in networking or just in security or in the compute. The adversaries we face don't work in just those silos, but yet we on this side of the fence do. Our tools and platforms are siloed, our organizations are siloed, our communications are siloed. And so it's not surprising that when we work in silos, but the adversary and the challenge we face work across silos, that we fail to actually detect and mitigate at speed and at scale. And I think the heart of that is that lack of integration and automation. You can't really get the automation and persistent visibility control unless you have integration. And that's one reason why I see so many organizations about really trying to move away from dozens of different vendors to really about 6, maybe 8 platforms and building the automation around prevention, detection, and response. Or they're really saying, look, we've tried to run our own mess for a long, long time. It hasn't worked. And that's why they're looking at MSSPs and MSPs and the partners that are in your program, right? There's a huge demand right now for the ability to take over the complexity of today's operating environment. And fundamentally, I see that shift in computing driving that. The idea that, you know, if we're no longer owning our own infrastructure, our own platforms, let alone our own software, now, where should we be delivering services? And the understanding now that networking, security, and the compute, the cloud, all have to work together to deliver a very responsive computing experience means that many SMBs and mid-markets are really looking to their partners, the MSSPs, the MSPs, the VARs in many cases, and the SIs to help them make that transition. So complexity, lack of integration, driving platform and vendor consolidation, but really ultimately driving the need to have this convergence of networking, security, and the compute. And the only people who are really well positioned to address that you know, are the service providers, are the SIs, the MSSPs, and the MSPs.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, I think years ago, the staggering results around the number of vendor integrations in one data set, you know, one data center and IT architecture was, you know, an enterprise 100 plus, and an SMB was even 35 to 50 plus technologies and vendors. And that's a considerable amount for your point, right, around an open architecture, whether they're configured properly and integrated together to be able to truly provide the value around that fabric or open architecture story, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's really not surprising that in the research that we've done at Fortinet, that almost 80% of the respondents in the research said they really would like to have a consolidated dashboard that has visibility and control across networking, security, and compute. And we see that, you know, we see that consistently in the research across the industry that, you know, 80% plus, and this has been consistent for the last decade, 80% plus of the problems you see in security are related to human error, right? I mean think about that we're going to spend $350 billion on network security this year, that we've made huge investments in AI, machine learning, and automation, and SOAR. And yet it still goes down to basics, right? Multi-factor authentication. It comes down to security awareness training, proper configuration management, proper vulnerability management. And those are things that really indicate to me that those traditional approaches aren't going to get us there, because we all recognize that if we didn't get it right in Web 1 and Web 2, and now we're approaching Web 3, right? The speed at which networking, computing, and the threats operate today, you know, we're not going to get there with the solutions from 6 years ago. And, you know, 6 years ago, it's interesting that 6 years ago, it's a very different operating environment. 6 years ago, you know, we weren't really that far down the cloud adoption route. 6 years ago, SD-WAN wasn't foundational to network strategies. 6 years ago, Zero Trust wasn't foundational to security. 6 years ago, we were still thinking about brick and mortar businesses. And I'll tell you today, I think just about every business is a digital business. And so we're moving it towards a very different operating environment with very different requirements that simply can't be met with traditional multi-vendor, siloed, disaggregated solutions. We're never going to have enough people. We're never going to have enough tools. And so I think fundamentally, we really need to think about an approach that converges networking and security, that stresses a truly integrated platform, right, that leverages AI, so we can get it right in cybersecurity moving forward.
Absolutely. That's why technologies like XDR and EDR are so critically important around that automated detection and response. And to your point, right, technology 6+ years ago, I mean, where we were at from an entire IT landscape and market, while the threats are very similar in some ways, certainly the architecture has grown. Yeah. And, you know, you can say, you know, multi-clouds, right? How many, there's multiple clouds that are being ran in client environments. And that's imposing to anyone from a management functionality. And then everything else layered into that from a data center and network.
Yeah. You know, I try to help folks, you know, get their arms around what's happening by just reminding them, like, it's always been about the compute. You know, the first DARPA projects, the first things on campus environments were connecting users with the compute, a mainframe in many ways, and desktops and state workstations. And then so once we began connecting campuses and other data centers, we had a wide area network. So we had a LAN and a WAN. And so networking and security always adapts to and follows the compute. And if you understand that, you begin to understand the dynamics of figuring out what's the best course for you as a business, whether you're SMB, mid-market, or enterprise, and whether you should be doing it in-house, whether you should be going to a channel partner, right, an MSP, an MSP, or an SI. So think about where the compute is today. And it's hybrid. It's in the home. It's in our cars, on connected platforms. Smart factory floors is in a traditional enterprise data center and perimeter. But it's also in, as you said, multiple clouds and increasingly on the enterprise edge. We talk a lot about the edge. It makes me laugh. The other day I was on a panel and I remarked, I said, you know, the edge, we're talking about the edge today. But when I was growing up, the edge was just this Irish guitar player from Dublin, right? And so now we've heard the edge is something completely different. But the practical reality moving forward is that for security and networking to work, it has to work in conjunction with the compute, which is increasingly cloud and distributed and decentralized. you know, the practical reality is that you don't get to better user experiences, which lead to better mission and business outcomes, unless all three are working together. And that level of complexity, the ability to really understand root cause analysis and deliver consistent and enhanced networking, security, and compute, all of which leverage elasticity and scalability of the cloud, really in many ways is outside the domain of SMBs and mid-markets, in many cases, global enterprises. You know, I remarked to someone the other day, really no one is doing all this in-house. No one is doing this without outside support. And so, you know, I think as you said earlier, finding the right partners, the SIs, the VARs, distributors even, and the service providers, the telcos, the NSSPs, the NSPs, and figuring out who can really, you know, abstract that complexity across networking, security, and compute, and really deliver on those better user experiences. In fact, you know, I think as a strategy, we've moved away from a site-centric focus really towards a user-centric focus. We've moved from quality of service to quality of experience, understanding that quality of experience equals business and mission outcomes, right? So it's a very, very different world than we were 6 years ago. 6 years ago, I didn't meet a CISO who was being asked about the ROI on security and the digital user experience and the ROI and how do you use security to accelerate innovation, collaboration, time to market, and revenue recognition. But I'll tell you, to a person, every man or woman inside the security today is being told they need to deliver that. And just as everyone in the business is being told that they are responsible for security, you know, through security awareness training, just about everyone I meet in security teams is being told that they're responsible for the business as well, that security is a business enabler now, right? So it's a very, very different world 6 years ago.
No, it's very, very true. I think, you know, the edge that you talk about, right, sits everywhere. And I think we often, you know, don't realize how many connected devices, either whether in our personal lives, yeah, or business, yeah, and how they relate into business. I mean, I just bought a washer and dryer this weekend, not, you know, out of necessity, obviously. And didn't want the lowest brand, but didn't want the highest, you know, gadget machines. And there's Wi-Fi, they're Wi-Fi, yeah, enabled. I can set them and program them for my phones. And that certainly, you know, when you start to think about that, I started telling a story to my husband just around, think about a laundromat. And now, yeah, those kind of entities that are now having to secure their infrastructure because, yeah, of these devices.
Yeah, well, first, congratulations on finding inventory. So congratulations on finding one. But two, you know, that's a great example. More parts of our lives are connected than ever before. So the level of exposure, the quote, attack surface at a personal level, at a corporate level, at a national level, are larger than ever before. And in fact, when you look at things like hospital beds, you know, the average hospital bed in North America, and Troy Amon, my colleague in healthcare, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think has somewhere between 15 and 18 connected devices, everything from blood pressure monitors to medicinal pumps, or cardiac devices. All of these things are connected, and more aspects of that. So remote healthcare, telehealthcare, remote learning, long distance learning, all of these things are really designed around latency-sensitive applications. And in order to do that, in order to deliver that outcome, right, irrespective of whether it's FaceTiming with my family or telemedicine, it really requires consistently good networking performance in the form of SD-WAN, and it's intelligent routing, absolutely. But that SD-WAN has to work in conjunction with the security infrastructure across that LAN, WAN, data center, and cloud edge, and all of that has got to scale with your compute, wherever it's located. And so think about that in a 5G ecosystem, we're talking about, you know, sub 5 millisecond SLAs. And I came from a start in my work at MSSPs where the SLAs was 30 to minutes to an hour, right? And so you've got a sub 5 second SLA to deliver a continually consistent level of performance across the networking piece, the security piece, and the compute. And I think that is going to be a primary driver moving forward. Today's security is not about locking down the enterprise. You know, and I think after Equifax, it shifted towards, you know, reasonable risk care and risk management and compliance. But now the third part of that triad is really business enablement, right? So I think the object of the exercise in cybersecurity after risk management and compliance is really about safely opening up the business. It's not about locking it down anymore. And so I think the security pros I've had the privilege of meeting in the last year, the really interesting ones, have been the ones who are able to balance the security requirements, but at the same time demonstrating how they are accelerating innovation, accelerating time to market, accelerating revenue recognition and collaboration. It's about, as one CISO and CIO told me from a very traditional brick and mortar company, it was like, look, Jonathan, the object of the exercise and the way you deliver success is how do you safely create new ways for employees and partners and customers, importantly, to interact with your brand or your organization. So the more interactions, the better those interactions, the better the business outcome, or indeed the better the mission outcome. So that's very different than where we were 6 years ago.
Absolutely. And security is the cornerstone of that all. And to your point, right, I think it's so pivotal. I think when you talk about a business enabler, and then even just the incident response piece of it is, you know, seeing a higher demand around simulated incident response.
Yeah.
How do we do exercises? How do we coach? How do we train to enable how to respond and manage through that response, right? And yeah, I think that's a huge opportunity for every one of our listeners as well.
Sure.
As the biggest business enabler security is, I think the innovation, by all means, will continue. Yeah. We're going to continue thriving in innovation because look where we're at 6 years later, now 6 years from today. What do you project? You know,
well, the first thing I project is that those threats that we saw yesterday aren't going away, right? So everything we've seen that's been the shiny bright object, the new threat vector, isn't going away. In fact, things like ransomware and supply chain issues around software releases and updates really revolve around a lack of proper visibility, control, asset management, segmentation. Those are basics we've got to get right before we think about Web 3.0 and the new normal. I think the practical reality, though, is this. You know, before you buy anything, before you make any decisions, really understand what your current state is. And so to your point earlier, things like risk assessments and pen testing and tabletop exercises, you know, reach out to those service providers, those MSSPs, those SPs, and those SIs, the folks who are delivering consultative services, and make sure you understand what your current state is across networking, security, and the compute. In fact, I would say this, when you're thinking about your cloud strategy, your digital transformation strategy, don't just think about cloud. You know, the vernacular cloud first is somewhat misleading. Cloud only works if the networking, the way to access that compute works. And that only works if it's secure, right? So when you're thinking about digital transformation, it's really that triad of security, networking, compute, all three working together. Before you buy anything, really understand your current state and then understand your desired state and then work with that service provider, that partner, develop a plan about how you get there. It's not going to happen overnight, but the practical reality, 6 years from now, what are you going to see? More decentralized, more distributed computing, on-prem, hybrid public cloud, on the edge, on the enterprise edge, the smart manufacturing floors, smart infrastructure, smart manufacturing, smart agriculture, smart healthcare, all those connected platforms, not only in now the washer, dryer, and refrigerator, household appliances, but wearables on our bodies as well. So you're going to see more frictionless business. We're going to try to use security to get out of passwords. So we're going to move towards FIDO-based passwordless authentication. And we're going to get to an environment where the focus exclusively is going to be to deliver a really good user experience and make all the IT issues seamless for that user. That's where we're going. And when you think about it in that light, that requirement spans all businesses and all organizations. This idea of how do we better serve our customers, our employees, and our partners. And so I think moving forward, for what it means for the market is that everyone's going to need partners. And what it means for the channel and the service providers is this: you know, you need to think about how you're going to move up the value chain from being just box shippers and implementers, but delivering those value-added services on assessments, on pen testing, on architecture, and being the trusted advisor that helps that customer bridge networking, security, and compute, because you understand, you know, their business goals. You have that relationship, that trusted relationship. And so the real opportunity is helping those companies make that transition and delivering that integrated capability. So think about platform consolidation. Think about platforms that can really integrate and deliver secure SD-WAN. So big macro trends is reflecting things like secured access service edges. There's this idea that networking and security of the compute really all converge, right? So we talk about first secure SD-WAN. That comes with the security stack, the firewalling, the web app, the web gateways, the sandboxing, the CASB capabilities, which is so underappreciated because CASB gives you that configuration visibility in your cloud, and zero trust. So those two things, SD-WAN and zero trust, are going to be foundational for just about every service provider, every MSP, every MSSP. And if you can't do that, you're going to be at a competitive disadvantage because your customers are going to ask for that, right?
Yeah, that was fantastic. Hey, Jonathan, I appreciate it. It was great having you on the whole story. I think we could go much longer into that next segment of CASB and Zero Trust and SD-WAN. And I'd love to have you back on again, sure, if you'd like, over the coming, weeks, and really talk about that, because I think you touched on it as at the end. And that to me is where we're really transforming our partners around those technologies by leveraging our cyber range or leveraging our practice builder methodologies to really help enable them around our vendor ecosystem too. But we've got to your point, to me, this is such a big opportunity for our partners, and services are a critical aspect of that. And which is why we're partnered together in such a great market. And even with the financial kind of projections and things, security is very healthy, right? And going to continue to stay. To your point, the human aspect of it is our biggest risk of everything. But frankly, the technology is driving us to have a higher need of security in multi platforms, but environments and clouds and all of that needs to be secure. And I can't agree with you more on CASB. Frankly, it is the least appreciated technology. And one of the most critical aspects of technology today because of the cloud infrastructure that's deployed. So
that's right. Well, let's talk about that next time. That'd be awesome.
Outstanding. Well, I look forward to having you on again. Thank you again for joining us and joining all my listeners today. And thank you everyone for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd really appreciate you taking the time to subscribe using your favorite podcast application. We are hosted on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and many other podcast platforms. We're adding new podcasts monthly, and you can also access our podcast at theholtstory.com. Thanks again.